This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Ah, good morning. Can I get you all just to move up front? I feel lonely up here. The group's small, so we'll make it a family. So just find your way. My wife has this crazy idea. I say when she gets older, she gets more adventuresome and has these things that she wants to do. And the latest is she wants to go sailing on the Chesapeake Bay. Now, I don't know if you've watched sailboats or not, but I told her if I go sailing, I'm going to be on the high side of the boat. Sometimes with the wind, those boats are just kind of leaning. And so we're going to be using the Apostle Paul's journey to Rome, the time where he experienced shipwreck, as kind of a basis for the message this morning. But I'd like us to begin with just a couple of verses of song. Two verses, Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove, and then Lead Us to Holiness, the Road Which We Must Take to Dwell with God. We'll sing those two verses. I think we could sing it from memory. Come gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step reside, o'er every thought and step reside. Lead us to holiness, the road which we must take to dwell with God. Lead us to Christ, the living way, nor let us from his pasture stray, nor let us from his pasture stray. Let's take time to pray. Father, we do call upon you today. We recognize you as God and your call on each of our lives. We also know we have an enemy who seeks to destroy your workmanship in us. I pray for every person here today in their journey of faith that they would be encouraged and strengthened, and that you would give them the ability to make good decisions about life. For we only have one life to live. And I pray that we would make it the kind of life that brings blessing and a legacy of faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Becoming a vessel for honorable use. I'm at the bedside of a young man who's watching his father die. As he's sitting there, he has tears in his eyes, and he says, Brother Dave, you know what? I'm sitting here as a brand that has been plucked out of the fire. He said, when I was a young fellow in your church, your dad would come to me often and he'd say, Lester, if you don't quit running around with Bob, he's going to take you places you don't want to go. Lester joined the Navy. He said he'd be out on the ocean and he'd see I'd be looking through the porthole of the window of the boat, and he said I would be asking myself this question: where would I rather be than where I am right now? And he said, I think of a little white church in Dover, Delaware. And Lester found his way back to the Lord, but Bob ended up in prison after drinking and driving, and a crushed car. He drove a truck with junk cars on it, and going around a curve too fast, the car flew off and hit a 16-year-old girl and killed her. I ended up talking to Bob in prison through a glass, and I was just amazed at the hardness of Bob's heart. As far as I know, Bob went into eternity without Christ. Lester today is a Christian, but a brand plucked out of the fire. As we think about becoming a vessel for honorable use, let's say this verse together. Can you quote it with me? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. Another verse, say together. Steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In this same passage, we have this portion, which is kind of the foundation for what I have to share today. And let's read this together. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, but every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Yes. Yes. Some vessels will come to the end of life honorable. Sadly, some vessels will come to the end of life dishonorable, comprised of wood and earth. What will it be for you? And the reason this is such a passion for me, I'm 64. I don't know how I got here so quickly, but trust me, life goes by really quickly. The passion I have is that when you come to the end of life, you can come to the end of life standing erect with your head held high, knowing that you have been a vessel that's been honorable for the Lord's work and for his use. In this context, most likely determined by what you flee. Christians are identified somewhat by what they flee, but also by what they follow. When my dad talked to Lester and he said, you better quit hanging around Bob, he's going to take you places where you don't want to go. Guess what? Friends are important in our lives. They can lead us to deeper levels of spiritual life, or they can lead us away in paths that we really don't want to go. You know this story. A ship that was considered unsinkable by the experts on its maiden voyage. And what happened? I think probably pride and a desire to maybe make a record crossing, I don't know, but the dangers of warnings were ignored. And the Titanic hit an iceberg and sank with unbelievable destruction and loss of life. It was a vessel designed for glory and honor. By the way, you are a vessel designed for glory and honor. God has a purpose for your life. And we just heard a message that just was amazing, because you have to think about, you have to make decisions about what you're going to do with your life. It's a gift from God. What are you going to do with what God has given you? You have the opportunity to make those choices. I can't make them for you, and you can't make them for me, right? But instead of experiencing glory and honor, it experienced shipwreck. Instead of honor, it came to dishonor. So you're catching right away. There's an analogy I'm using here. Sailing is a wonderful experience. Well, at least Ellie thinks so. I will go with her. But, you know, I don't like storms. And I have a cautious nature. On the trip to Europe, the young people wanted to go paragliding. You know what I told them? And there were some guys my age who went. I was thinking about that again just recently. And I'm like, you know what? Why did they do that? I told the young people, I said, you know what? I've had enough adrenaline rushes in my life. I don't need any more. Still had some on that. So instead of a glory, there was a legacy of disaster that accompanied the Titanic. Young person this morning, and all of us here, I, maybe your parents, your leaders, care. They warn you about shipwreck. We urge you, I urge you, do not push too hard against your designer. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. God created you with a purpose. Don't push too hard against him. Okay? And we implore you to avoid the pitfalls of youthful lust. I have a question I want to ask God when I get to heaven. I wonder if you could guess what it is. As a young person, when you're in the midst of finding your identity, who you are, your sense of worth, yeah, becoming an adult, making decisions at a time when there's a lot of other things happening in your life. And I've thought about this. You make major decisions at a tough time as a young person. I want to ask God why. Now, I believe God has purpose in everything. And so I think there's reasons. But I think youth is such a time of tremendous opportunity and potential. But be assured, it's also a time where there needs to be carefulness in how you think through things. I've told young people, I said, watch the decisions that people make and observe where it leads them and ask yourself, is this the direction I want to go? Is this the way I want to live? Is this what I want to have happen in my life? So we challenge you to become a vessel of honor, and we call you to a legacy of faithfulness. But if you prefer not to listen to me, and I'm pleading a little bit, whoops, let me go back. Listen to the Apostle Paul, who truly did become a vessel of honor. And, of course, experienced shipwreck, which we're kind of using as a basis. Now, you know the story. We're not going to take time to read it. But in the story about them going to Rome, there's a phrase that really stuck out to me. The south wind blew softly. It says, and when the south wind blew softly, they thought they had obtained their favor, and they set sail. Okay? Everything looked like, I could just see, I could hear, and as a young person, now maybe you're not like I was. Walter Wilson says a high school senior is someone who knows everything there is to know, and they know they know it. I was 17 once when my dad built a house, and I knew everything about carpentry, and he knew absolutely nothing. That was not true, but that was my thinking about that. So the south wind blew softly. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing we had a... Notice that word. Supposing. Be careful. Supposing we had obtained our purpose, we set sail. Young person, and all of us here today, even those of us who are older, don't be misled. Are you hearing me? Don't be misled by the winds that blow softly. Wow. I was on the ladder, one end of the house. My dad was on the ladder on the other end of the house. We were pulling a chalk line, and it had to be straight. And I was determined it would be straighter than straight. And I pulled extra hard, and the chalk line broke. And my dad got off the ladder and just walked into the house and left me there to think about my my attitude and response. Soft winds of pride. Young person, the soft winds of independence are not quite what they're cracked up to be. Let me assure you of that. I'll have my own way, will you? Would you like to be free from authority, from restrictions? The soft winds of compromise. I don't care what church you're in. I don't care what family you're in. You know what? At some point, you have to find a place to stand. You know that? Sometimes that means standing alone. But you have to be able to come to a place where you say, this is where I stand. This is... So the south wind blew softly. Everything looks good. We've set sail. This is what scares me about sailing. When I go fishing, I'm always looking. So, yeah, you take off, it's a nice day. But what? What about? What may happen? So we have this another verse that the Apostle Paul says, sailing was now dangerous. Now, the phrase that I gave you first, it actually comes after this phrase in the context. But sailing was now dangerous when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already passed, Paul admonished them and said, sirs, I perceive. Now that, guess what? What's perception mean? How discerning are you? How able are you to make some judgments about life? Paul said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Young person, and all of us here today, there is a need for discernment. There's a need for hearing caution and a need for godly counsel. Who do you go to? Who do you go to for counsel in your life? You know what I think's very ironic and interesting to me? I've observed this. It's that at a time when young people need mom and dad the most, often there is distance and the inability of son or daughter to hear what mom and dad are saying. My dad at 16, after a tough encounter with his dad, made up his mind that he would not talk to my grandfather again unless he absolutely had to. My grandfather, at the same time, made the same decision and decided he would not talk to his son unless he absolutely had to. So they went for months with barely communicating with each other. I find it interesting that Satan works hard to keep children away from parents at a critical age in their journey of faith. Young people, don't be afraid to connect with mom and dad. In fact, a little thing I would do is go to them and say, Dad, what was it like when you were growing up? What were the things you struggled with? There are some dads that struggle to share with their children. I encourage fathers to do that. But I encourage children to go to parents and say, Dad, what were some of the things that were tough for you? What did you... And what advice and counsel would you give me? Spiritual discernment. Paul said, I perceive there are going to be people in your life that are going to see things. Guess what? Things that you don't see. Things that you're not aware of. And it's good for you to hear the perceptions, the cautions. And if I could emphasize one thing, I watch people's decisions and I wonder, are they just thinking to their nose? Think past your nose. The long-term forecast, it's one thing to see, okay, the sun's shining today, it's the wind's blowing, it's a beautiful day. It's another thing to think down the road a number of years and ask yourself what kind of a legacy. By the way, you want your children to honor you and obey you. You want your children to respect you. You're setting the tone today as a young person for that foundation years down the road. Pay attention to godly counsel. And I believe God places parents, He places pastors, He places teachers and mentors in our lives for our good, to help us think through carefully the choices. Some of us who are older look back with regrets about not having been careful, not having listened like we could have listened. In the area of obedience to my mom and dad and submission, I don't have regrets, or to the church. No one can rob me of the joy that I had of being willing to submit to my parents and honor them and submit to the church of which I was a part. But there are other areas in my life that I can tell you that sometimes when you're tempted to do wrong, you're like, what would be the result of this? Let me just say, I don't ask that question because there's always consequences that come from choices that we make. So pay attention to godly counsel. Otherwise, damage will impact your vessel. Distance will erode your relationships, just like I shared about my grandfather and father. And when they came back together, my dad said he determined in his heart that he would never quit talking or trying to communicate. Don't let that happen in relationship to people who can make a difference in your life, or to anyone for that matter. So pay attention. See, sailing was now dangerous. The wind was blowing softly, but Paul said, I perceive. And you need to think ahead in your life to what might be the results of the decisions that you make today. Regrets could cloud your life legacy if you're not careful with the things that you allow in your life. Now, this is funny. Look what you have in here. So be careful of peer pressure. You know what peer pressure? All of us go through peer pressure. Even older people go through peer pressure. But notice the rationalizations that they gave. They said, well, this isn't a good place. Let's sail. The haven was not commodious. The majority of people said, let's sail. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Is the majority right? Is they might be, but they might not be, see? And the circumstances favored sailing. But listen, not long after there arose a tempestuous wind, the vessel was caught, the ship could not bear up under the wind, and the ship was driven out of control. Now, let me just say, young people, and all, I thought I'd be talking to mostly young people. I got a few adults in here, and that's good. But let me just say that it is so important to realize that the decisions today have impacts tomorrow. Not long after the ship was caught. And your ship, trust me, your ship can get caught a lot easier than what you think. I would just say to all of us here, there's not a one of us sitting here that's above falling. And Satan's a master. He's a master at temptation and deception in our lives. He wants to see us make shipwreck. Do you like this picture? You ever been on a boat in a storm? Exceedingly tossed and driven with the tempest. Do you know what that's like in your own life? Can you picture the feeling of not liking where you're at? Of wishing life was different? Of wishing you'd have paid attention? How did I get here? A fellow stood outside my house with tears in his eyes. And he said, Brother Dave, I can't believe I've allowed myself to go to where I am. Guess what? That man's living with the results of some of his choices today. It's not fun to be exceedingly tossed and driven with the tone. And see, Satan wants to do this to you. It says all hope was taken away. In other words, Satan wants you to believe, I've gone too far, it's over, I've ruined my life. Well, let me just say, that's not true. And even this passage helps us to realize God's grace is tremendously, it's a blessing to all of us. You know how the story goes. Paul said, take some food. God told me there's not going to be any loss of life. And he said, we must get close to land. Well, they get to this place, and this is an interesting phrase, falling between two seas. Just think about that. You ever been there? Falling into a place where two seas met. They ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained immovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Wow. This is not what I wanted when I started sailing. And I could, trust me, if I knew that there was going to be that result, I wouldn't have started. But let me just say to you young people here today, you know what? All of us have goals and dreams for life. And those are good. But for some of us, God's going to take us through things that we would have never asked to go through. But he will walk with us through those things. He will be faithful to you through those things. You know what it's like between a rock and a hard place? Ever been there? We use that expression. Which way? Battered by the waves from opposite directions and caught between two opposing seas. Wow. Remember Paul's words in Romans chapter 7. He said, you know what? The things that I want to do, I don't do. He said, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. What kind of a existence is that? You know what that's like? You ever said to yourself, you know, I've been down this road before. Dave, won't you ever learn? As a young person, I'd sometimes say, by the time I'm 20, by the time I'm 25, you go on, by the time I'm 30, really? Caught between two seas. When I think about the journey of faith, and I think about what would be the yearning of every person here, and I believe God has put within every person, even unbelievers, a yearning for wholeness and fulfillment in life. You know that? I love that. I want to just say something. Never lose that yearning. I also want to say, in the journey to find victory in your life, never throw in the towel or give up. It's very tempting at times. So there's three sets. Well, I'm going to put them all up here. There's four sets of opposing C's that are going to be critical in your journey of faith, where you have a choice to make, where I have a choice to make. We've talked about the first one just a little bit, obedience versus rebellion. I had a Sunday school class that I enjoyed. They were full of life. They loved nature. So I took them up here to Pennsylvania. We actually went to Muddy Run State Park. And these guys, they were probably 15, maybe 14, 15, 16, were chasing deer all day long at Muddy Run State Park and just having the blast. And this one guy in that class who especially loved activity in nature. We were in the mall one time singing. He was a bit of a character, but anyway, he was not behaving himself, and I reprimanded him there as we were singing, and he looked at me and he said, "I got a knife." I don't know what he thought that was going to be. Wasn't too many years after that one night at 12:30, I heard the fire siren go, and it wasn't long till I had a call from this boy's father. He said, "Dave, could you come to the hospital?" This fellow had been drinking, and on the way home, he and another friend lost control of the car and struck a tree, and he was paralyzed from the chest down. Father didn't know how to talk to his son about his spiritual life, and he wanted me to come in. You know, I still grieve today. That's been years ago. This guy's now probably in his 50s. He's lived on a wheelchair. Obedience versus rebellion. Let me just say, the soft winds of independence, of being free, of doing your own thing, can seem so appealing. But I want to tell you something. It's not what it's cracked up to be. It reminds me of a young couple at our church who, in their youth, before becoming Christians, guy and a girl, decided to move in with each other. They knew it was wrong. They tell the story that when they moved in together and they're unpacking their things, they're sitting there in the living room looking at each other. And yet what was supposed to be such a wonderful thing, it was more like, what in the world have we done? You understand what I'm saying? What have we done? Here's where, be careful, young people. You will meet super spiritual people who are disobedient. Yeah. Observe the fruit of decisions. This goes back to the long-term forecast. It really does. If I could say anything that would encourage you, I would say think down the road to when you're 50 or 60. And, yeah, what kind of a life would you like to have? You don't get to that kind of a life without some careful decisions and thinking through the choices that you make. At the same time, I want to encourage you. Do you think God has your best in mind? Can you trust God with life, with marriage? By the way, geography is not a problem to him. and circumstances is not a problem to him. He's able to arrange things that are, it's just amazing to me to watch that. My trust in him has been increased so much in experiences of life. Listen, you can trust God to give you the abundant and full life. What you really want, right? What I know that all of us long for. But you have an enemy who's determined to rob you and give you a substitute which will come back to bite you. Amos Mast, who on a whim married a Catholic girl, and he said this to me. He said, Dave, I want to tell you something. He said, you don't just reap the wind. You reap the whirlwind. He lived faithfully the rest of his life. Never did see his wife come to the Lord. Saw one of his children come to the Lord. But man of a lot of tears, because of the choices he had made as a young man. Obedience versus rebellion. Here's another one, tough one. Purity versus sensuality. Young man from our youth group years ago, his dad bought him a car. It was an old yellow beat up thing. But he was proud of it because he had a car. He goes out to the car, and he's looking through the car, and he finds a magazine that he immediately recognized as pornography. And immediately the temptation came. And he took the magazine and hid it, intending to indulge later. Later, as he was going to indulge, the thought came to him. You know, you wouldn't have to do this. I just love this story. You wouldn't have to do this. You could destroy this. He said, I took that magazine and I destroyed it. And he said, you know, that set a pattern for victory of my life. Isn't that it? This is a tough one. This is one that was tough for me. I say this carefully, but generational bondages have their impact on our lives. Ellie's father contributed to my children things that my dad could never contribute because of the life of integrity that her dad lived. My dad's a wonderful man, and he's a man of integrity, but he struggled as a young man and in his early marriage. And I asked him one time, I said, Papa, how did you ever get back up on your feet? He said, Dave, I live with it every day. At the same time, God's grace and forgiveness is tremendous. But you have to make decisions about these things. And I said, today, we live in a day when you can't protect. Your parents can't protect you. Your church can't protect you. You have to set boundaries in your heart by God's grace and make accountability commitments that will help you. Conviction versus compromise. I think we'll get there. I was going to give time for questions. Come home from work one day and my son was mowing lawn at the church. While he was there, a bunch of cars drove in. He didn't know what it was for sure. But that night at supper table, it was a tough meal because my son realized that the young people had gotten together to go somewhere and they had never invited him to go. Now, the reason they didn't invite him to go is because they knew he probably wouldn't go. But you know how it feels to not be invited? Standing alone? What do you do? Conviction versus compromise. And then following righteousness versus youthful lusts. Paul says, flee. Daniel purposed in his heart. Joseph said, how can I do this sin against God? And Joseph fled. And Paul tells us, I've told my boys, my children this, I said, don't wait till you're 50 years old. If you need help, get it now. Don't be afraid. It's not a mark of cowardness to say I need help or to say I need to make some decisions. I love this. We're just about done. On the wall in our home growing up. By the way, my dad, because of his own journey, had a tremendous burden for his family and for his children. He prays for all of us. I'm sure he's praying for me. And he prays for all of his grandchildren. And but in our wall, we had this little motto. He had it done when we were little. And it has a verse on it. It has all of our pictures in an oval. Heavenly Father, hear us, we pray. Keep us together as we are today. And when this life on earth is done, bring us together in Christ thy Son. One day he was standing out with us guys and he was lamenting not being able to give us much money. We said he gave it away, but anyway. And he said to us, boys, I'm sorry that I've not been able to give you a whole lot of financial resources, but he said, I hope I've given you what will take you safely to the other side. Isn't that precious? All, I like this, all safe to land. Isn't that neat? I pray that all of you, all of us, arrive safe to land. Boy, what could you ask for more than that? Paul said, now look how they got there. Some on board, some on broken pieces of ship, but they all escaped to land. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. Young people and all of us here, I hope that at the end of life, you're able to walk erect with your head held high, a legacy of faithfulness. And may God give you grace in the daily decisions that will lead you to that end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each of these persons here today, and you know each of our journeys of faith. May they be encouraged to make wise decisions and be careful in the journey of life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Oh, I turn it back to you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.